Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 249, part 1, Occupy. Today is Friday, June 22nd, 2012.
Don't you wish it was true? An angel took my hand, said you don't have to hurry. Got all the time in the world, don't worry. Don't you wish it was true? Lord, don't you wish it was true? But if tomorrow everybody was your friend, anyone could take you in, no matter what. He said the world gonna change and it's starting today. There'll be no more armies, no more hate. Don't you wish it was true? Why don't you wish it was true? And now the little children who live happily, they'll be singing in laughter, sweet harmony. Don't you wish it was true? Lord, don't you wish it was true? As one, no borders or battles to be won. But if tomorrow everybody was your friend, happiness would never end. Lord, don't you wish it was true?
Titled Occupy. Tonight I'm going to minister on something I'm sure you will gain your attention, full and undivided. Money. Gain. Position. Recognition. Trust. Inner circledom. It's a good word, isn't it? And so Luke 19, 12, and 13 says like this, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now we know the reason that our Savior delivered this message at this particular time. He was going to minister in Jerusalem, and the ignorant people, the unlearned, who were so excited, so on fire, and were so enthusiastic, and so let's get going, that attitude, that they wanted to set up a temporal sovereignty. They wanted to get with it right now. They thought that the kingdom of God should happen right now. And you know, that sounds like a lot of ministry that we have right now. It's yours right now, just appropriate it by faith. Well, if you appropriate something, it means you look forward to it. You don't set a time on it. Moses appropriated what was told him by faith. It's still happening. Abraham, by faith, all of the men of God went ahead with what God told them he was going to do. But now, see, we think the kingdom of God should be here right now, and we just act like it's here right now. But we have no wait faith. What's that mean? That means we have no patience. We have no wait. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We don't want to have that wait faith. And so their minds were crowded with many misconceptions, many mistakes, claiming and demanding and making plans. By faith, of course, but without regard to the Lord's will. See, it seems like everyone knows the Lord's will nowadays. And the Lord, in his parable, sets them straight on this issue, and he says something like, rid your minds of the idea that every Hebrew would be a prince. And so the Lord told them a story. He would show them they would not be instant partakers in the kingdom. Isn't that a good word, instant? Everybody wants something done in an instant now. I want it done right now. But what he did tell them, he says, what you're going to become is waiters for an absent Lord who has gone, yes, gone to receive a kingdom and then to return. Some thought he returned right away. Well, he went up. What goes up must come down. Didn't tell him when. But anyway, while he was gone, the disciples were to be servants. Put in trust of property while their master was gone far away. Far away, yes, to receive a kingdom. Later, it says that he went to prepare a place. That's the trouble with most nowadays. No one wants to take the time to prepare. Not too long ago, I asked a young man to do some painting, and he didn't want to take the time to prepare. He didn't put down any canvas. He didn't, get the right brush. He didn't have a cloth to wipe his hands on. He had no turpentine. He wanted to hurry up and get the job done so he could have the glory. Oh, I can paint. Watch me. Not only was he a mess, so was the floor and the wall and everything around him. See, there's a preparing. Well, when you cook, you prepare. But nowadays, they don't want to take time to prepare. Open up a can of Dinnymore stew. Open up a can of vegetable soup. We don't want to take the time to prepare. When we take a trip, we say, oh, let's go, and they jump in the car and they forget half of everything. They don't want to prepare to go to work, and so they're driving just wild down the freeways because they only got, so many minutes and so many seconds before that bell is going to go off. No, they don't want to take the time. They don't want to take the time to live. They don't prepare for dying. They want to do it all with no work, no trouble, no preparation, no problems. What would this church be without preparation? Preparing food, preparing grocery bags, preparation. Boring work, huh? Those little things that we have to do to get a grocery bag together. Now, we go to prepare you a grocery bag. Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want a grocery bag right now. Well, I'm sorry, but we aren't passing out groceries right now. We're going to prepare the groceries to pass out. Now, do you suppose you can get out of bed by noon and come and get a full grocery bag? Will you be prepared? I think we should be prepared. Well, sure, there's the blessings of God. But are you prepared to receive them? But anyway, that he would come again. But in the meantime, be my servants. He was like, the Bible says, a nobleman. He was among many citizens now as a nobleman, but that when he returned, he would come with royal authority. He would return a king, Lord of lords, King of kings. And in their trust would be put certain pounds until he returned. See, people were ready for a leader, just like they are right now. Oh my God, how we need leaders. How we need people that will take on authority under authority, bear the burden. But anyway, they wanted one now. They were weary. They were weary for the present rule to end. Get rid of these Romans. Let's get them out of here. I'm tired of this. And so Jesus is making his going an illustration to Rome. He's saying, I am a noble person who will be a king. I have come in the flesh, but I will go in the spirit, and I will return to be a king, a royal king. However, I must go to a distant and very higher court to obtain this. So they couldn't understand him. No, we want it right now. This must not be the king. And so while going, his citizens so hate him, they oppose his claims. And they will not have him for their king. But anyway, he receives his kingdom regardless and returns to rule. And when he does, the story says, he rewards those who have been faithful and he rewards those who were obedient to him. It also says he punishes severely those who have tried to prevent his reigning. I think a lot of that is done, well, I should say unconsciously. And so the story here is saying like this. The Savior says, I am a nobleman among you. I am here among you like a nobleman who is to become king of all the earth. First, I must go by death. I must go by resurrection. I must go by ascension to the very highest courts. I must go through all of this that prophecy might be fulfilled. I must go to the very highest courts, from the head judge to the final judge of all, and from the Father of all things, to win his case and win his suit. And so right now his coming is very, very close. I should think right now he has a neck. On and on and on. Jesus will be to Satan a pain in the neck. His neck will be under, it says, the Lord's foot, as will, of course, all of his other enemies. And so tonight, first notice this. There are two sets of persons. The enemies. The enemies who will not have him reign over them. We will positively not have it. And then we have his servants who had to trade with his money. I think we have many divisions in this old world. Nationalities is one division. Positions, that causes another division. Ranks, offices, social standings. Oh, there's a lot of that, isn't there? Denominational hang-ups, doctrines. I ministered up here to some of my Greek friends. There was a couple of Greek teachers from the University of Minnesota. And they got into philosophizing. And they philosophized and philosophized and said, all right, now we're going to ask you something that probably you know more than we do. And what they were doing was getting ready. One was giving an evil question. And so I said, all right. And then he started to give his evil questions. Now, he probably didn't even know they were evil. So after he got all done, I said, well, I'm not speaking of earthly things here. I'm speaking from a spiritual standpoint, and you have to come as a child. Lest ye come as a child, you will no wise come into the kingdom of heaven. Now, either you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or you don't. It's up to you. Doesn't have anything to do with your degrees, with how much philosophy you know, or whatever. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let me give you the gospel now? And I gave him the gospel. Well, I said, well, how do you come into this? Well, I said, how did you come into this cafe that you own here? One day you were out and you were washing. Someone said, wash the dishes. You didn't know how to wash the dishes. Yet, you went ahead and you washed these dishes, and then the cook was gone and he was somewhere. And someone said, how about fixing me a hamburger or something in the kitchen? And you said, well, I'm the dishwasher. Well, you can throw a hamburger on. And so you fried a hamburger. Then another time, the waitress wasn't there, a waiter, and so you, someone said, hey, wait on me. And, well, I'm not a wait person. And you went out into the front, and you became a waiter, and now you have this very fine cafe. How did you get that? One step at a time. When you come into the kingdom of heaven, you come one step at a time. That first step gets you in. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved today. Do you receive or don't you? One step at a time. Do you want to become the owner, partaker of the kingdom of God by simply taking this dish, this cup? And they all come to know Jesus Christ sitting there at that table. Why? Because the word and the gospel was spoken. How many are hearing this tonight? Turn around, you can wave later. Yoo-hoo. Brother. Brother, up here, you're looking the wrong way. Yoo-hoo, Paul. Brother, up this way. I can't hear this now. Right now, just let me have your full and undivided attention. We're in church now, okay? But when all is said and done, now listen. When the Lord returns, there will only be two deeper divisions. And what will they be? Those are people that are for Jesus and those who are against Jesus. Enemies and friends. You're either for him or you're against him. If you're not a servant, you are enemies. And you that are not enemies, make sure you are servants. How many are hearing this? Make sure, if you're not an enemy, make sure you are a servant. Because if you don't, you're lukewarm. You're better off being an enemy. No greater love hath a man than he would die for a friend. You're going to have to serve the Lord. Don't take your ministry too lightly. If you serve, serve all of the way. Example, when you're at a cafe, how do you like to be served? Do you like to wait and wait and wait and continue on waiting and waiting and waiting? Do you like someone to snap at you? Hey, I'm busy. Shut up. I'll get over there to you, you bonehead. Wipe up your own mess. I'm too busy. Wipe your own table down. Get your own coffee. Pay before you eat. You might try to sneak out the door. No, you don't like that, do you? I don't like that either. Neither does the master. And so let's look at the enemies. These persons hated the nobleman in the story here. A man, but yet a nobleman. But what a man. What a man. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for a moment, he forgot his Godhead. Think of him only as a man. Just forget the Godhead. But what a man. Can you find anyone more noble than Jesus? How beautiful Jesus is. How fair Jesus is. How faithful Jesus is. How lovely Jesus is. How unselfish Jesus is. Oh, how noble he is. But these citizens, the Bible says, hated him without a cause. He walked among them. He became a carpenter. He handled the net and he handled the oar. He wore their peasant dress, and there was nothing to distinguish him from the rest. Yet and still, they hated him without a cause. Isn't that the way it goes, though? People don't need a cause to hate you. Did you know that? See, the separation was not caused by him, because the Bible says he came down to them, but they would not go up to him. We all have things, I think, we dislike about each other. But there was none in him, not one thing in him to really dislike. Many said, "We do not accept him as the king of the Jews. We will not have him rule over us." It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Even to accept him from among men as king, that should be very easy, shouldn't it? But they hated his royal claims. Did he ask them for taxes? No. Did he give them a hard, cruel law to follow? No. Did he ever judge them unrighteously? No. And yet, the citizens hated him. And today, you know what? It's the same with Jesus Christ. People hate him. Did you know that before you're born again, the Bible says, man is at enmity with God. You hate God. Now, we don't like to think that way, but it comes right down to it. If you're not born again, you are made to serve God, you would hate him. The Bible claims that. The Bible tells you that. How many are hearing this message tonight? Do any of you hate him listening on the radio? Who, me? Of course not, I hear someone say. But yet some of you who don't oppose him treat him worse. You act like he never existed. Or you pass by him altogether in your thoughts. You act like he isn't even worthy to be opposed. Well, I just don't say anything. I'm noncommittal. I don't say anything for or against. I think we ought to keep our religion a secret. You know that program, I Got a Secret? I bet there's a lot of people they put up there. I bet a lot of them got the same secret, that they have Jesus Christ, but it's a secret to everybody else. Ooh. But anyway, you make nothing of him. Jesus who? Oh, maybe you admire him, but is he your first love? Bible talks about first love. What does that mean? It means it's your first love. Above all other things, your first love. Maybe there's something you'd rather be doing while you're listening to this program. Maybe you'd rather snap open a bottle of beer or be someplace partying. Are you hearing this, preachers out there? Oh, preach the truth or don't preach at all. You admire his character somewhat. Oh, he was a great prophet. See, but if you truly admire him, you would be imitating him. Earnest admiration, I believe, leads to imitation. You imitate the things of Jesus Christ. You take authority over things. And I'm not talking about authority over to get more for yourself. No, I'm not talking about you preach deliverance. You help people. You feed people. You see they have needs. You open up your eyes. Say, God, open my eyes up. And first, before all those, say, God, open up my heart. That'll open up your eyes and your ears. That'll open up your understanding, because the Bible says they became dull in understanding. Dumb. No, it's easy to imitate the world, isn't it? Because it's popular to imitate the world. Monkey see, they say, monkey do. So they make a monkey out of you. Hey, that kind of rhymed, didn't it? Monkey see, monkey do. So they make a monkey out of you. How many monkeys are there out there right now? Smoking dope, Man, being in church on a Friday night just kills them. I got something else to do. They can't spend another 3 hours. That's all you'll be here tonight is 3 more hours. Lock all the doors and windows. No one's leaving here. I mean, there is no excuse. No, brother, don't interrupt me when I'm speaking. We can interrupt me down there when I'm cooking, but Paul, not here. This is preaching time. This is the Lord's time, not your time. How many are hearing this message tonight? No, if you admire him, you'd be imitating him. But if you're friends of the world, then that makes you enemies with Jesus Christ. How many are hearing this message tonight? How'd you like to be up here preaching like I? People out there on the radio, how'd you like to be down here every day, 7 days a week? How'd you like to come down and imitate Christ on the north side, take authority over things and be honest and be true, be that one sent of God? I wonder. See, if Jesus be Savior, the worst thing you can do to him is to refuse to be saved by him. That's the unpardonable sin. To not receive pardon, how can you be pardoned? Unpardonable. You are the one that's unpardonable. Listening out there? If you haven't received pardon, the unpardonable sin is that you won't be pardoned. You're unpardonable. And all you that are not saved, right now, stop my message. Simply repent, turn around. Turn to him and be saved. Be saved by, I challenge you, don't wait. Don't die an enemy. Because the Bible says he'll be coming soon. All Bible prophecy is in. Everything is on the line right now. I see myself, I can see the chariots in heaven right now. There's every horse chomping at the bit. The return of Jesus Christ is right now so close. It's only going to take some third world power to unleash the fury of bombs. Someone that has made one or someone that has bought one. Think of that. Think of Gaddafi with an H-bomb. And he will say, as for these enemies, slay them before my eyes. Can you imagine? I mean, would you? Could you? Can you imagine being slain before the eyes of rejected love? Pure love. But anyway, the other set of persons were his servants, bond servants. What's that mean? Those who were not enemies were faithful servants. And so the nobleman had bought them with his money so that they would be willing bond servants. See, we all are bond servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? We are never really free till we come under bonds to Jesus. Till we get under his rule and under his reign. Until we are bond servants to the Lord Jesus Christ, bonded in. You know what? We grow in freedom as we yield to him. The more you yield to Jesus, the freer you are of the surly bonds of this earth. Yield your members. Talking about your members of your body. Yield your members to the Lord. Your mind, your eyes, and your ears, and your hands, and your legs, yield yourself to him. Yeah, we grow in freedom as we yield. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as to say like this, the hot iron of much affliction has branded him with the name Jesus Christ. You ever realize that you are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you are not your own anymore? Aren't you glad you don't own yourself? Maybe someone on the radio, you think you do own yourself. No, someone owns you. You don't own yourself. Either the devil owns you or the Lord owns you. Oh, how great it is to be hidden in Christ and God. To somehow melt and blend and be stirred into his very nature. And I don't know how that all happens, but I do know it happens. Servitude I'm talking about. Servitude to Jesus is perfect freedom. When you just give up and say, let me be a servant. Totally. You listening on the radio, is there any happiness in going halfway? Is there? Is there any happiness in anything that's halfway? Do you ever try to be happy being half out of bed and half in bed? Or get the food halfway to your mouth? Or put one shoe on and one shoe off? Fiddle diddle dumpling, my son John. I mean, hey. No, there's no fun in only going halfway. Servitude, getting into, getting involved, and serving Jesus with your whole life. Oh, I'm sick of hearing that. I don't want to hear it no more. Well, then get good and sick, because you're going to be sicker till you really get into it. Say amen, somebody. Listen, you on the radio, are you happy the way you are? I see a lot of funless people out there. I'm telling you, just like it is, funless. Totally funless. They don't know how to have a good time. A good time is getting all the way in the Lord. That's where the fun is. That's where the joy is. Now, I didn't say you'd be giggling around and smiling like a chassis cat 24 hours a day. But you'll have peace, which is grown-up joy. You ever see your little kids, they're giggling and it just kind of tickles you? Well, you've got grown-up joy. You just smile at them. Grown-up joy. See, people got that mixed up. They feel that joy and happiness are the same thing. They're not the same thing. Happiness, a lot of time, is manufactured. Oh, I'll be so happy when I get out of here! You're miserable where you're at. I'll be happy when this happens and that happens, and I'll be happy when the end of the world comes, will you? See, people are so fickle. Oh, I can hardly wait to die, and then they're on their deathbed. Oh, God, don't let me die! Huh? Aren't you glad you don't have... Your wish didn't come true when you wished, oh, I wish I was dead. How many times have you said that in your lifetime? Little kid said, oh, I wish I was dead. Test tomorrow. You really mean that, son? Look up. There's a piano falling from the fifth floor. Watch how fast he gets out of the way. Oh, I wish I was out of it. Why was I ever born? Well, that's a good question. Why were you born? You were born to glorify God. That's what. And that old nature doesn't want to do it. So it just gets good and miserable and melancholy and, oh, man, it just gets miserable. Oh, gee, I mean, these people are happy over here. Are they? Can you go in behind those four walls? See, we can never know him. We can never know perfect freedom until he has. Jesus Christ has brought, the Bible says, every thought, every conception. Every imagination, every desire, every habit, every ambition, every motive into subjection to him.
That was part one, Occupy. Be sure to listen to part two, the conclusion, on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
I see.